With all this in mind, the following is said. This is from the prayers of the personified Vedas, 87th chapter of the 10th canto. Dvitaya iva shvasantya sukrito yarite nuvida maharam mara aham adayom dam asvijan yadanu vrataha purusha vidom vayo tracharamo namayadi shuya sadasatak param tvamata yadishvavashisham ritam. Only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise, their breathing is like that of a bellows. It is by your mercy alone that the elements, beginning with the Mahatattva and false ego, created the egg of this universe. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one. Okay. This is Taittiriya Upanishad, where the prayers of the sanctified Vedas now are alluding to. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so on, that's the first Purusha, the one made of food. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one, entering within the material coverings, along with the living entity, and assuming the same forms as those he takes. Distinct from the gross and subtle material manifestations, you are the reality underlying them all. Okay? That's something of an explanation of what the Taittiriya Upanishad was talking about. It's addressed to Lord Narayan by the personified Vedas. Now here's Jiva Goswami's analysis of this. Asubhrito jiva dritaya iva shvasat abhasa api yari te tavanu vida bhakta bhavanti tada shvasanti pranati. Although those who have breath, who has breath? Jivas, all the jivas. Okay, there's some jivas that don't breathe oxygen, you know, anaerobic microbes. But anyway, in general, jivas have breath, they have life air. Even a microbe has life air, even if he doesn't have any lungs. He has subtle air, even if he's not breathing gross air. Although those who have breath, the jivas, are only seeming to breathe like bellows, if they become your followers, your devotees, anuvida is the word, following, but it means devotees. If they become your devotees, then they are breathing. They are alive with vital air. Jivana manyamahi iti bhavava. I'm sorry. Teshu twad bhaktanam. Among all the jivas, twad bhaktanam eva jivanam manyamahe iti bhavaha. In other words, in our opinion, the only real life is the life of your devotees. Katam? Why? Answer. Yasya tava anugrahatat samashti vyashti rupam andam deham mahadam adayosvijan. Why? Because out of the mercy of whom? Of yourself. The Mahatattva, ego, and so on, created the egg, the body of the universe, in its aggregate and individual forms. Samasti and Vyashti Rupa. Samasti is the whole thing. Vyashti is the individual people in the creation. each little man, is a, each little creature is a universe unto himself in his body. But then there's the total universe. Samashti and Vyashti. That was created by the Mahat. False ego and the other elements. But they did that only by Tava Anugrataha. Yad Anugrataha, by whose mercy they were able to do that, create the universe. The elements were able to create the universe only by your mercy, is what the personified Vedas are saying. Doesn't sound very impersonal. Atat Swayam Eva Tata Vidat Twattap Paran Mukhanam Anyesham Dvinti Tulyatvam Yuktam Eveti Bhavaha. And so it is natural, since you are like this, to equate those who are indifferent to you with bellows. Here's the source of all life, and if you ignore him, you're as good as dead. You're not alive if you're ignoring the source of all life. Your breathing is useless. You're living, but you're living for no purpose. Okay. The commentary. This verse is one of the prayers of the personified Vedas, the Shruti Stuti, spoken by the sages who are identified with the eternal Upanishads, because they received the Upanishads in their meditations and introduced them to human society. These prayers were recited by Lord Narayan by the rishis of the Upanishads on Janoloka. Oh, I think that's a mistake. Wasn't Janoloka where the conversation with Satkumara was going on? Yeah, I think it was at the Milk Ocean that the Upanishads approached Narayan. I think we're all in the wrong place. But can I make a note of that? Of that mistake? No. The sages were speaking. Yeah, the sages were speaking to Satkumara about this on Janoloka. I think there's a mention of Jambudweep, I'm not sure, like Shwetadweep is where the sages approach Narayan. Okay, anyway, these prayers were recited by Lord Narayan to the. No, I say here they were recited by Lord Narayan to Lord Narayan. Excuse me, I'm sorry, this is full of mistakes. These prayers were recited to Lord Narayan by the rishis of the Upanishads, not on Janoloka, somewhere else, to wake him from his transcendental sleep when it was time to create the universe anew. Lord Narayan Rishi later recounted the same prayers to Narada at Badrinath. That's true. And even later, Shukadev spoke them again to King Parikshit. And in between, there was a conversation about it on Janoloka with Sanatkumara. Those who consider the Upanishads impersonal teachings should reconsider in the light of what the Upanishads reveal about their inner hearts in this and other prayers of the personified Vedas. That means this verse and the other verses in the chapter. Every living creature has an unbreakable relationship with the Supreme. Although most in this world of darkness have chosen to forget it. The devotees of the Supreme in his personal fullness, however, are anuvida, the word in the verse, anuvida, favorably disposed to serving him for his pleasure. Can we look at the dictionary, what Moldy Williams says about anuvida? It may be a verb anuvid, I don't know. Probably not, because it's from an adjective, vida, not from a verb. What do you got? We got live mosquitoes. We should be on, because we have mosquitoes. Okay. Leave it on. That's a big mosquito, it might be. Malaria mosquito.
Anu plus e plus ha. Ha. Log log a equal a. Means the sign to bring order, regulate, lay down, rule,
I think that's not, okay, that's the verb. I'm also looking, sorry. I have a feeling that this doesn't come from the verb. Well, we do it in the Bhagavatam. The word is there. He doesn't list anuvida. It's an adjective. It's got to exist. I mean, Bhagavatam doesn't use words that don't exist. Or if he, anyway, they do exist, but Bhagavatam uses them. And it's not here. This is Moni Williams' problem. He didn't list the word. I don't think we can explain it just coming from the verb, because, see, vidha means kind, and anuvidha I think avyayabhava samas, meaning appropriately, according to the right kind. So it's derived from the adjective, the noun, vidha. It only indirectly goes back to the verb vid. It's not vidha anyway, I don't think. I'm sorry we're spending time on this, let's get it right. Let's just look up plain anu. No, he doesn't have a section of just anu with suffixes. Okay. It's not there, anu vida. Okay.
It should be from Kridanta. It's from Kridanta, from anu meaning ha.
But I think it's a samasa. Anu suffix prefix onto the noun vida. Then it's an avyayabhava samasa. Now, let's see. I'm sorry. Let's do this. Let's look up Sridhar Swami's commentary on this. What's the verse number? 1087. 13?
17.
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm looking up Sridhar Swami's commentary. I don't have the 10th canto. Jeez. Okay, we don't have it. Not in typed out form. All right, leave it. The devotees of the Supreme Lord and his... Okay. Let me just read the paragraph again. Is that okay? You got Sri Aswami's commentary on the verse?
17.
We want to see just a gloss on Anu Vida. Anu Vartina.
Yeah.
Followers. That's how I translated it. Followers. Following. Okay. Every living creature has an unbreakable relationship with the Supreme, although most in this world of darkness have chosen to forget it. The devotees of the Supreme in his personal fullness, however, are anuvida, favorably disposed to serving him for his pleasure. Only the Supreme Lord's anuvida devotees are alive in the complete sense. By some trick of nature, a dead body may sometimes seem to breathe, but that should not be taken as a sign of actual presence of life. The reservoir of all pleasure, the Anandamaya Personality of Godhead, is the fifth and last Purusha described in the Taittiriya Upanishad. He is the soul of all souls, the whole material universe, encompassed in an egg-like shell, is also his body. The egg of the universe is the amalgamate, the samashti body, in which are found countless individual or vyashti bodies of humans, superhumans, and subhumans, and the individual worlds on which the various communities of life reside. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Uh,
translation, the first paragraph, you write, Lord takes the body, he takes the body as living entity. I don't understand this.
Lord takes the body? I'm not looking at the same paragraph then. Where do you see that?
Here, on the fifth or sixth line. Same form as those he takes. What does it mean?
Could you read from the beginning of the sentence? What, how's the sentence?
You are the ultimate one. Among the manifestations known as Annamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one. Entering within the material coverings along with the living entity and assuming the same forms as those he takes.
Yes. Let me just first of all see where it says that in Sanskrit. Okay, the word is anvaya in the Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Anvaya atra. Here there is an anvaya. We know anvaya in grammar. But it means following along or corresponding. So, that's talking about the super soul. What's the size of the super soul? There's discussion in the Vedanta Sutra that his size is variable. He's certain size, nine thumbs? But thumb varies. Elephant's thumb is bigger than an ant's thumb. So the super soul appears much smaller in an ant than he appears in an elephant. So he's taking different shapes or different sizes according to the different bodies that he's entering. That's what we're talking about here, this anvaya. He takes a corresponding size because he's in the heart of every living entity. He has to make himself fit that heart, big hearts, little hearts. That's all. And that's just these. Shrutis are discussing it because that's one of the major topics of the Vedanta. About does the Supreme change or not? As the Purusha, he seems to change. And Brahman is not supposed to change. But the answer is he's not really changing, he's just reflecting different sizes in different media. He seems to get bigger and smaller only because he's occupying different material bodies as a super soul. But actually, the super soul doesn't undergo any change. It's just like the same moon reflected in a big mirror and a small mirror.
Is it the soul? Is it the body of elephant or human? Is it not the same size?
Yeah, the soul is. No, but the super soul is relative size. Super soul appears the size of nine thumbs, depending on how big your thumb is.
According to the gross body?
Yeah. Which thumb is it? Yeah, whose thumb is it? Yeah, the body of the thumb of the gross body that we're occupying. Vedanta's talking about that. Super soul seems to get bigger and smaller in different bodies. No, that's different. Shruticharis are some sages that became gopis in the next life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry.
And these are sages. These are the sages who are, the sages for each of the shrutis. When you study Vedas, you learn the mantras and you learn for each mantra who's the rishi.
Yeah, yeah.
The rishi is the person who got that mantra in his meditation. It's an eternal mantra, but we don't have it all the time available in human society. The rishis pick up these mantras in their meditation, and they get credit for being the rishis. That's basically what it is. They're just the receivers and transmitters. But they get identified with the Vedas. So I know the Vedas in person are standing by Lord Narayan's throne in Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
But here we're talking about, at least this interpretation, is that we're talking about the sages who are in charge of each part of the Vedas.
So the Shrutis are different from the sages who are identifying themselves with the Shrutis?
Yeah, because Shrutis are eternal, but so-and-so is not that particular sage eternally, only for the duration of 1 month mantra, and then he's out of his job. So it's not like the Shrutis get kicked out after the month mantra. They're eternal, but the Rishis get kicked out. Or they change positions.
So
Oh, Jiva's always telling us right here. So we're taking that interpretation because he's telling us.
Okay.
Isn't he? That's a good question. Where do I get that from? Well, okay, Jiva Swami isn't saying that specifically here. It is said elsewhere.
Okay.
I mean, both interpretations could be there. Okay. That we're talking about the sages or we're talking about the Vedas themselves.
Yeah.
But they're present in Vaikuntha. They're not present necessarily inside the material universe. Mm-hmm.
So the Bhagavatam, prayers by the personality of Vedas are by the sages?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I say, both understandings of that are there. That is, the sages or the Vedas themselves. I think Acharyas give us both ways of looking at it.
Okay.
This Paramatma is the all-pervading feature of the Lord. So it is also said that He is present in every atom. So is it that His personal form is there in every atom?
And yeah, if it's Paramatma, then that's a personal form, yes. Not just Brahman expansion and, you know, Brahma Jyoti pervading all the atom, but no, it's personal Paramatma.
So, like Arjun got the vision of the universal form, which is like the soul of the whole universe. He's
yes.
Everywhere, like that he could see.
Yes.
So, is there any instance where anyone is seeing the Paramatma Vichara is in the every atom?
Not that we know of. I mean, we're not told that anybody saw Paramatma inside the atoms or inside of any atom. Certainly he could reveal himself, but we don't have any. We just know Arjun saw what he saw. And Duryodhana was able to see another universal form. Somebody else may have seen a universal, but they're all different, like samples of the universal form. Even Arjuna didn't see all the details. He didn't see every form of the supersoul in every single atom. He just saw something that was, you know, some sample that was shown to him, and a particular version of the universal form that nobody else saw before is what Arjuna saw. We don't know who else. We don't have the history of who else saw what version of the universal form. Maybe somebody saw, you know, the supersoul inside the atom, so what did Mother Yashoda see? She saw the universe, saw the elements, saw Krishna and herself inside the universe. She didn't see inside the atoms. What did Lord Brahma see when he saw the coward boys turn into Vishnu forms? He also saw the elements? Okay, but I don't see any description of anybody seeing inside the atoms.
For example, in the first canto, Narada Muni is saying that like he was a child and then he started meditating on the Lord. He said that when he got the body of Narada Muni, so whenever he would chant the Lord's name, the Lord then would quickly come and appear on his heart. Similarly, like when Prahlad Maharaj says that he is in the pillar,
yes,
and Hiranyakashipu bursts that, and he comes out of the pillar.
Yes.
So is it that
the Lord
can appear anywhere?
Yes, he can. He chooses, you know, when he shows his special favor, he can appear to anybody, anywhere, in any form he wants. But it's relatively easy to see the Lord inside your own heart. You don't have to be a yogi to see the inside of your own heart. Everybody sees the inside of his own heart. Everybody, even the animals. But to see someone else's heart inside that, then you have to be a yogi. You have to have mystic power. Narada, is praised by Vyasadeva that he can do that. He can see inside other people's hearts. Okay. Yeah. Let's make it more clear. This and the other verses of, okay? Verses of the prayers of Sanavai Vedas. Got it? In this and the other verses of the prayers of the personified Vedas, not other sets of prayers. There may be other prayers, but we're not talking about that. Okay, let's try to move on. What about this special favor? What is the nature of that favor? Oh, the Mahatantra, the ego and other elements create the universe by the special favor of the Lord. So let's see what that favor is like. What is that special favor that the Lord imparts on the elements of creation to let them create? Anugraham eva darshayam ti. They, the personified Vedas who are talking, point out this mercy. Okay, in the rest of the verse. Atra mahad aham adishu anvaya pravishtas tvam iti. Here, meaning in the elements beginning with mahat and ego. Anvayotra. Okay, atra is actually in the verse. Anvayotra is what the verse says. So atra means here, means in the elements beginning with mahat and ahamkar. Anvaya. Anvaya means pravishta. Here we're taking it as an adjective, not a noun. Jiva Goswami is taking anvaya as an adjective, meaning entered. Here in the elements, beginning with mahat and ego, is your connection. That is to say, you enter them. And then Narayan has an objection or a question. He asks, Tom, mat pravesha matrena tesham tata samartyam syat. Well, he asked, but how do these elements thus become competent to create? Simply by my entering them. This is answered. Tatrahu yad yasmad sata anandamayatya brahmano avayavasya priyadhir asatas taranyasmad anamayadesh cha yat param puchabhutam sarvapratishta brahma tatkalu twam. Okay, these are verses from the words of the verse. Anamayanushya sarasatam param twamata yad esh pavashesha ritam. Last line. So, translation. How do these elements thus become competent? Just by my entering them? This is answered. To compare to which Satnasat, the ultimate tail, the foundation of everything, Brahman, is superior. Superior to the substantial, the deer, and so on, which are the limbs of the Brahman called the Ananda, Maya person. And to the insubstantial, the Anamaya and other persons which are different from the substantial. Well, let's clarify that. I'm sorry. Okay, let me mark the whole sentence as not clear. Because what I did is I explained it backwards. You don't get the definition until the end of the sentence. Okay, but let me explain it. It says sada satak param. He's beyond the sat and the asat. Well, the sat means the substantial and the asat means the insubstantial. Substantial means the parts of the Anandamaya Purusha. He's a bird with five limbs. So him and all his parts are substantial. The Anamaya Purusha, the ultimate person. The other persons, like the Anamaya person, are insubstantial. They're not the real thing. So, but he's beyond. saying that, okay, the foundation, Brahman, is beyond the other parts, because Brahma Purusham Pratishtha, within, inside that bird, that's the, you know, the personal form of the Anandamaya Purusha, the Supreme Lord, there are different parts, and the last part is the foundation, Brahma Purusham. So that's the most important part. So in that sense, the Brahma Purusha, the Brahma tail, the absolute truth is more, it's more important than the other parts of the personality of Godhead. That's what we're saying. And certainly, everything about that Anandamaya person is superior to everything insubstantial, all the other purushas, the four other shells. So sadasataparam. But sadasataparam, superior to the substantial and the insubstantial, is you. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everything about the personality of Godhead, you're even superior to that, because you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything that's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the other phenomena, are, that's the asat, you're certainly superior to them. Now, what's confusing to me right now is, what does that have to do with the tail, the Brahma Purusham? But, you know, the verse, the personified Vedas are not talking about the tail, they're talking about Tvam, you, and they're talking to Narayan. Looks like Jiva Goswami is bringing the tail into it in his explanation. Avayasya priyadir asatas taranyasmat anamayades chayatparam puchabhutam sarva pratishta brahma. So, tat kalu tvam, and that is you. But we have this concept of the supreme aspect, which is the pucha sarva pratishta brahma, which we were taking to mean impersonal Brahman, as of yesterday. The personified Vedas are telling, interpreting themselves, the Upanishads, they're telling Narayan that that's really you. And you're superior to both the substantial and the insubstantial. I still don't understand, what does that have to do with Brahma Purusha, with the Brahma tail? How is the tail of the Supreme Lord superior to his other parts?
Yeah, discriminating his body and his personality.
Yeah, I mean, is a personal Brahman superior to his personality?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope it's explained here. Otherwise, I got a problem. I'll have to go back and figure it out. Okay, I just admit I'm confused by it. It's not essential to the whole discussion. You know, he just threw that in about the tail, I think. I see nothing about the tail in the commentary. There is a lot about the tail in the Sarvasambhadani. But that doesn't help us here, unless we go to, yes? You got an idea?
So
seem to follow the design of the Upanishad. The Upanishad talks about five limbs and then the Atma. He mentions Atma also, the heart. So why is the personality the tail and not the heart? I'm just confused. I think I'd rather not guess on this. I'll go back and research it, see if I can dig up. I'll go to the Sarvasambhadani, see what the explanation is there. It looks like I leave it unexplained. I don't mention the commentary. I don't mention Brahma Purusha. Okay, anyway, we have no problem with saying that impersonal Brahman or the Absolute Truth is you. You're the original Absolute Truth, personal or impersonal. That's true about Narayan. So let's leave this confusing part. I'll try to figure it out as homework for tomorrow. But let's try to read the rest of the paragraph. Yeah?
I just want to know. my doubt is proper or not. The doubt confusing me is what I understand is the hyphen superior to the substantial, the deer and so on, which are the limbs of the form of Brahman called another person.
Yeah.
So there is a confusion.
Well, that's what they type to me. See, remember now what's going on here. The prayers of the personified, this verse of the prayers of the personified Vedas is referring back to the Taittiriya Upanishad. They're giving an interpretation of the Taittiriya Upanishad, the personified Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
Taittiriya Upanishad told us about this Anandamaya Purusha, that he's got his right wing and his left wing and his head and his tail.
Yeah.
And that's the names of them.
Yeah.
Priya, what is it?
Moda, Pramoda, Priya.
Priya, yeah.
Atma.
Yeah. And now Jiva Goswami is giving us an argument that the tail is superior to these other parts.
Yeah, so there's a difference between body and soul.
There really isn't. We already discussed in earlier in the Anuccheda,
yeah,
that it's not like the other Purushas.
Yeah.
These are just aspects of the personality of God. He's got different varieties and aspects of his personality. There's no separation of body and soul.
So here it seems like
because there's no soul of that. That body is its own soul. There's no difference between soul and body for the Anandamaya Purusha.
But they're saying here that superior to the substantial, there and so on, which are the limbs of form of Brahman.
Well, they are the limbs. They're presented as the limbs. They say this is his left wing, this is his right wing, this is his head. This is his heart. Those are limbs. They look like limbs. They're called limbs. They're limbs because they're like limbs. The Lord doesn't have a body, but he's the original person with a body. Everybody else's body is a reflection of his. What do you mean to say he has no body? That means he doesn't have a separate body. He is his body. He doesn't have a body. He is his body. And that body has parts. It has arms, it has legs.
Yeah.
And you can object to calling them limbs because you can't cut them off, you know, you can't replace them, you can't put an artificial limb in its place. You know, they're inseparable. So they're not really limbs in the strict sense.
Yeah.
But they certainly look like limbs, so we call them limbs.
But why is that discriminating? He is superior to this.
Well, it's saying here that it's the argument here is it's the tail that's superior to the other limbs.
But
and that tail is you. That's what the sentence says. Jiva Goswami is telling us. I don't understand what it's saying. I honestly say I don't understand it right now. I'll work on it. Why he's saying that, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Then you have Brahman, and then the Brahman is supposed to be personal without any discrimination. But then they start describing that he's free and strong, so he has a heart, he has death, he has the boosters of
tradition. Well, before it gets into that detailed analysis, the Taittiriya Upanishad says, Sa esha vai purusha vidaha. He's in the form of a person. Anyway, the idea is just that the tail is the impersonal Brahman. The tail, the impersonal, is part of the personal. Not the other way around. Yeah, that I understand. Why it's the most important part, and why it's better than the other parts, if it's in the impersonal Brahman. I don't understand that. That means I have something wrong. Either it isn't really the impersonal Brahman, or there's some, I don't understand the statement how the impersonal Brahman is superior to the other aspects of the personality of God. Let me try to figure it out. Let me do it as a whole. At least we're not going to print it like this until we fix it. Let's read the rest of the paragraph, which I hope makes sense. Well, anyway, that tail Brahman, Pucha Brahma, is you. You're the Supreme. Tatrapi, and furthermore, Eshu Pratishtavakyeshu Avashesham Vagyasesha Tvainas Titam Brahmano Hipatishtaham Ityada Vanyagra Pasidam. Well, okay, beyond what the Taittiriya Upanishad says, there's more that you can find elsewhere. That Brahman indeed is you. And furthermore, above all these described foundations, see, there were five Purusha, each one of them had a tail. So among all the tails, all the foundations, you are the remainder. You're the last one, the last and final tail. You are present as the unexpressed conclusion of the statements. Well, that's because, why unexpressed? Because the Taittiriya Upanishad doesn't say anything about Narayan, about person. It doesn't mention, it says Anandamaya, Purusha, but doesn't get any more specific. So there's something still unsaid. But the unsaid part can be found elsewhere. As proven elsewhere, and such statements as Brahmanomi Pratishtaham in the Gita, I am the foundation of Brahman. Krishna is saying that, specifically alluding to the Taittiriya Upanishad, specifically for the purpose of filling in the missing information. What is that Anandamaya? It's me. I'm the foundation of Brahman. I'm the tail. I'm the Brahmapuchha. Okay. And that much we can understand. And then, there's also a statement in the Bhagavatam to this effect.
But the Spucham itself says that he is a foundation, no? Anandamaya is a foundation. What different this statement is saying? The Spucham means it is a foundation. So, yes. Narayana Pratishtha and the foundation of that Brahman is not saying something new which is not stated in the
Taittiriya. What he's saying is it's me. There's no mention of Krishna in the Taittiriya Upanishad. So Krishna's saying that's me. That's new information. Okay, also in the Bhagavatam we hear Atma Tattva Vishuddhyartam Yadaha Bhagavanvitam Brahmane Darshayan Rupam Avyalika Vratadvitaha Ityatra Rita Twainapi Prasidham Sri Bhagavad Rupam Etat Eva Tat Twam. Well, Atma Shuddha Vishuddhyartam. This is from the second canto, ninth chapter? Yeah, this is just before the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, I think. Or after it.
Yeah,
after it.
294, at the very beginning of the chapter.
Okay, it's talking about, well, let me read the translation of it. Let's see. This is what the personality of Godhead said to Brahman. Look what I got here. Said to Brahman.
Yeah.
Okay, said to impersonal Brahman. Yeah. Great, that really clarifies it. This is what the personality of Godhead said to Brahma to clarify his position while showing his true personal form to Brahma. Hare Krishna. With whose faultless discipline he was pleased. Okay, that's the verse of the Bhagavatam. And what he said was the fourth sloki Bhagavatam. But the thing is, the word ritam is there in that verse. That is also you. That form of the personality of Godhead establishes ritam in the verse. Real is also you. Okay, so Krishna said about himself, Shukadeva Swami is saying about Narayan in the chapter that has the description of the four verse Bhagavatam that Narayan spoke, or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu spoke. That's also you, Narayan. In other words, what Lord Vishnu spoke to Brahma, the absolute truth that he described, that's you, O Lord Narayan. That's another thing that the personified Vedas are implying, but they're not coming out and saying. What the Bhagavatam Gita says, what the Bhagavatam says. So the purport of the Gita and the Bhagavatam is intended, it's implied by the Upanishads, but they don't come out and say all of it. Okay. And then the verse goes on. The prayer by the personified Vedas continues. Ato anamayarushu adishu purusha vidha. That's the words in the prayer. That means purushakara. Yes, charamama. Thus, the final one who appears as a person, who has the form of a person, among the anamaya and other embodiments. Okay, that's Taittiriya Upanishad talking about the five different purushas, the five different shells. Anamaya, starting with anamaya. And every time around, it says, this person, this is in the form of a person, it appears as a person. That's what Taittiriya Upanishad says for each one. But he's the final person. The Lord Narayana, who's getting this prayer addressed to him, they're telling him, you're the final person among those five. The final one who appears in person, the whole person, including all his parts, Priya Moda Pramoda Ananda Brahma Brahmanam Avayavi Anandamaya Satvam. The Anandamaya person, the whole, containing all his aspects of Priya, Moda, Pramoda, Ananda, and Brahma, those five limbs, that is you, O Lord Narayan. Tasman, Mula Paramananda Rupa Tvat, Devaiva Praveshena, Tesham Tata Samartyam, Yuktam, Eveti Bhavaha. Therefore, it makes sense that because you manifest the original and supreme ecstasy, it was only by your entering the elements that they could become capable to create. Because the question is being answered. How is it just by your entering the elements they are able power, they have the power to create? The answer is because you are the ultimate person, the full of bliss, and all the aspects of bliss are contained within you. Therefore you have this power to empower them, the elements to create. Okay. There's also a statement of Shruti. Ko yeva anyad, kapranyad, yadesha akasha anandanasyad. This accords with the statement of Shruti. Who could breathe and who could live if this supreme sky was not ecstasy itself? Okay, we have a commentary, but we also have some confusion that hasn't been resolved. So we're going to come back to this on a chain, get it right, and then read the commentary. So we'll stop for now. Okay, and all right, take one question.
Vidhi Kuru. I just have to Prabhupada uses the word purpose and you use the word commentary. Is there any particular reason?
Yeah, just so we don't look like we're pretending to be Prabhupada. Just to be a little modest in calling it purport.
Is there any difference in the use of those terms?
It's not a different thing. I'm just not claiming the name purport. That's it. Yeah.
So, it says
in
2B,
which? This?
The name of the commentary in Sanskrit.
Well, Tika is based on the Bhashya. Yeah, well, if Prabhupada's purport is the Bhashya, then a sub-commentary should be a Tika. If we call Prabhupada's commentary Bhashya. Bhashya is original commentary. Anyway, Prabhupada didn't give a Sanskrit name for his purport, so I don't know what he would consider it.
Yeah, in the Bhagavad Gita, because his commentary is called by Jyotiswami as Tika.
Tika, yes. So Sridhar Swami is a Tika.
What is the Bhashya?
Bhagavatam is the Bhashya of the Vedanta. Yeah.
Then This purport is translated, at least in Marathi, as a tatpurya.
Which one?
Prabhupada's purport.
Prabhupada's purport, yes.
The purport, the word, is translated as a
tatpurya. Oh, but that's just the common word used in Marathi and Hindi. In Bengali, yeah, it's just a common language. It's not a technical term. Yeah, just so people who read the book will understand, you know, we call it, you know. We translate purport in ordinary vernacular language as tatpurya. And tatpurya is a general term. All the bhasha and the tika and the tipani, they're all giving tatpurya. Tatpurya is commentary, explanation. It's not a technical term, it's a general term. Okay? We have to stop. We're 5 minutes over time, and there's another class coming up. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.
Yay!